Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I'd like to do a movie review about the documentary Uncle Tom 2. This documentary is put out by Christian conservative African Americans, you know, to counter the lies of critical race theory, BLM, and basically many of the lies that were popularized during the civil rights movement. Here's a description of the documentary right from the website. Uncle Tom 2 is an odyssey depicting the gradual demoralization of America through Marxist infiltration of its institutions. The film explores how these deceptive ideologies has torn apart the fabric of society while using Black America as its number one tool for its destruction. From executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone comes the continuation of their highly acclaimed film, Uncle Tom, which was put out in 2020. Uncle Tom 2 will take the audience deeper into Black America's often eradicated history of honorable men, entrepreneurship, prosperity, faith, and patriotism, to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 unveils the Marxist strategy of creating false racial tensions between Americans, with its ultimate goal of obtaining power, destroying capitalism, and replacing God with government. Unquote. And by the way, at the end of this recent documentary, there is a word about an upcoming Uncle Tom 3, which will deal with the specifics of the civil rights movement in the 1960s. Now, as far as the people behind this work, this movie was written by Larry Elder, a popular African-American social political pundit, and Chad O'Jackson, an African-American businessman. He owns a business in Dallas, and he's also a YouTuber. And throughout the movie, Jackson is shown confronting and wrestling with the current racism narrative being pushed by the political left in America. And Jackson is practicing what he preaches. He's running his plumbing business, working with his hands, making the world a better place, all the while researching and addressing the ideological lies that are bringing his people down. This is why the cover of the movie shows Jackson sitting at a desk with both books and plumbing tools. Featured in this documentary are Chad O'Jackson, Vodi Balkum, Jesse Lee Peterson, Carol Swain, Brandon Tatum, Colonel Alan B. West, Stephen Broden, Larry Elder, Virgil Walker, Daryl Harrison, and Dr. Ben Carson. All these people are conservative Christian African Americans. And I say African-American rather than Black Americans because I despise this skin color narrative so popularized by the world, where people are judged according to the flesh, where people are fixated on the amount of pigment in people's skin. There are Italian-Americans and Irish-Americans and Spanish-Americans and Asian-Americans and German-Americans and Indian-Americans and African-Americans and Jewish-Americans. And the amount of pigment in the skin is irrelevant and it's really undefined. As I've said before, white people aren't really white. They're more like pink or maybe peach. Actually, sometimes they're kind of red, especially if they have rosacea on their cheeks. And black people aren't really black. They're more like brown or tan. You know, originally, the civil rights movement emphasized that we should live in a colorblind world, not make distinctions on the basis of skin color. But now, the return is to emphasize skin color. And that feeds into more racism. Remember Martin Luther King once said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." But today, the race baiters on the left want judgment to be made on the basis of the colors of people's skin. They don't want to talk about character. God forbid that they should be judged according to their character. I mean, for some people, they would think that that's the worst thing in the world, to be judged according to their character. That's worse than being judged according to the color of one's skin, because character is something you can do something about, something that you're responsible for. At UCLA, they made a list of statements and ideas that they considered white supremacy microaggressions. And on that list is the claim that saying you are colorblind is white microaggression, as if you're ignoring the plight of black people, which is not what is being said in that statement. You know, when I see people, I don't see the color of their skin. I see their spiritual character. And that is the biblical mandate, which becomes the mindset of Christian people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. I'll get back to that verse in just a minute. What I see is a unity, a love, a single-mindedness between Christians in the African-American community and Christians in the European community. We're not at odds. We're brothers. And when I say Christian, I mean true born-again Christians who actually read and follow the teachings of Christ and the doctrine. For the true Christian, there is no racial tension, no matter what our ethnicity. All the tension and conflict is coming from the unsaved, who walk according to the flesh, who judge according to the flesh, as Jesus said in John chapter 8. That's the problem. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And for those who think according to the flesh, there will come the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh are evident: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing. And the strife, jealousy, and anger and dissensions are the fruit of this false Marxist racist narrative. And whenever you see the fruit, you know that the doctrine is from the pit of hell. By their fruits you will know them, Jesus said. So the real battle in this world is not between black and white. The real battle is between the saved and the unsaved. That's the real distinction that the world doesn't want to talk about. The distinction in intrinsic character and nature. The distinction in beliefs, in worldviews, in doctrines, in philosophy and ideology. The distinction between Christianity and Marxism, between Christianity versus secular humanism, the spirit versus the flesh. The real battle in this world is not a racism issue. It's a spiritual issue. But Satan doesn't want people to see that. Now back to 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Now, in the context, Paul is pointing out that Christ died for all, not just for the Jews or just for the Gentiles. But that distinction between Jews and Gentiles was the popular distinction that produced racism in the first century. So when Paul says he doesn't recognize anyone according to the flesh, he is saying he doesn't recognize people according to their ethnicity. Now, obviously, he can see with his eyes that someone is of a certain nationality. But the point is, that is not how he identifies them. That's not how he thinks about them, or rather, that is not their true identity. Then Paul says that even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. What does Paul mean? The apostles knew that Christ was a Jew according to the flesh, but they don't know him in this way any longer. In other words, Jesus' Jewishness is no longer their focus. That is not his key identity. But 2 Corinthians 5:16 cannot be understood without also reading 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is a well-known verse that is often quoted out of context. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." This verse is often quoted to point out the change in one who has been born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation, and that's all true. But whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, ask, what is it therefore? And Paul is teaching that we don't recognize people according to racial distinctions. What matters is whether or not someone is a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's the point. Are you saved or are you lost? Are you a new creation in Christ or are you dead in your trespasses and sins? Are you born again or are you by nature a child of wrath? Ephesians chapter 2. That's the only distinction that matters in this world. But the whole push by secular humanistic socialist activists is to ignore this spiritual moral distinction and emphasize the flesh. Anyone who makes the emphasis ethnicity or skin color, whether they be on the political right or the political left, they're preaching a false gospel. And they're taking the emphasis away from what really matters, one's relationship and standing with God through Jesus Christ. And they will be judged for making this wrong emphasis and priority. So having covered the fallacy here of the racism narrative, let's get back to this Christian documentary, Uncle Tom 2, that seeks to expose the lie and teach the truth. So the documentary works to explain that Marxism is behind the current critical race theory, Antifa, BLM, oppression narrative that has deluded the African-American community and really all Americans, especially those white liberals in the universities. In abandoning God, this is all that the left has to talk about. The documentary starts off by saying it's like the people are under a spell that keeps them angry and bitter and blinds them to the truth. And that people need to wake up and see the lie that they've been sold. Isn't it interesting that Satan has stolen that language and has called his lie an awakening being woke? But this ideological lie that has descended upon America reminds me so much of Isaiah chapter 60. A darkness has covered the earth, and deep darkness the people. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. This current racism narrative that has infiltrated America is definitely a subductive, clever, sophisticated doctrine of demons. The documentary is actually explaining two contrary gospels, two ways, without stating it directly. One is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The other is the gospel of the civil rights, cultural Marxism, CRT, BLM movement. The one is the gospel of the Christian social leader Booker T. Washington and his Tuskegee Institute. And the other is the false gospel of the Harvard-educated atheist, W.E.B. Du Bois, the first figurehead of the NAACP. And this is clearly a current-day application of Galatians chapter 1, that there are other gospels, and they aren't really true gospels. There really isn't an alternative good news. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. "I'm amazed that you so quickly deserted him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel," which is really not another, Only there are some who are disturbing you who want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you've received, he is to be accursed. So think about what's happening in America in regard to the racism issue as a clash between two different gospels. And the false gospel is not only winning, but people aren't even aware of the true gospel, the way of Christ. And many actually think that the false gospel is actually the way of Christ. Also from Galatians chapter 1, notice how quickly people abandon the gospel of Christ for the seduction of a false gospel that tickles the ear, that pleases our flesh, our self-righteousness, our pride, and our wanting to blame others. These false gospels assess wrongly the source of the problem and assess wrongly the way to solve the problem, or rather, give the wrong way to salvation. In the documentary, Vody Balcom said it well, what we're seeing is another religion communicating, another meta-narrative, and another worldview concerning who we are, why we're here, what's wrong with the world, and how the world can be made right. So, the movie explains that the current racist narrative in America comes out of atheism and Marxism. Even the founder of the NAACP was a white communist, Mary White Ovington, who was a Unitarian, which was the most leftist liberal denomination at the time, denying all of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And the documentary points out that the communist white founders of the NAACP used African Americans as frontmen. And one of the main points in this documentary was that the African community used to be deeply Christian. And it was doing just fine, and it was advancing until these false leftist Marxist racist teachers arrived in the African American community. Then we see the destruction of the nuclear family, the drugs, the joblessness, the crime, the violence, the abortion, the vile language. And the heroes in the black community are now reprobate entertainers. The documentary states that it all changed for the bad in the African-American community, not because of racism, but because of a lack of God and Christian character. And that's a very radical message, isn't it? That's the true story that the world, secular America, doesn't want to believe in. They don't even want to hear it, because that would mean personal faith and repentance. The message in this documentary, you know, enrages the left, the leftist civil rights crowd, because they believe that people are good and that people can be good without God. So that if there is any dysfunction in the community, it can't be because of original sin. It must be the fault of someone else or something else. Now, here's my take on it, for what it's worth. Both the black and the white community, as they're called, were inundated with godless, Marxist, secular humanists, false teachers at the beginning of the 20th century. The white community has been destroyed by these godless university professors and philosophers and entertainers. And the whole culture has abandoned Christianity for paganism. People no longer believe the scriptures. And that's taken down the white community. Look at all of the abortion and the sexual deviance, the drug use, the decline in education, the broken marriages, the divorce, the childlessness, fertility rate, the white fertility rate is below the replacement rate. The culture of death is reigning. But at the same time, these false teachers also entered the African-American community. But they entered at a time when the African-American community was just coming of age. just beginning to reap the fruit of Christianity in their community. What do I mean? Well, Europeans had 2,000 years of Christian salt and light, Christian education. Africa, not so much. Like China, Korea, Japan, those nations were in the dark until the 20th century. So since these false teachers entered the African-American community at such a pivotal point, they were able to quickly destroy the progress. And the same is also happening in the European community, but given the capital has been built up, it's taking just a little bit longer to send us back into the Dark Ages to turn us into useless pagans. But Europeans will soon be destroyed by the victim mindset, by the grievance narrative, by abortion, by LGBTQ, by all of the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, those who sow to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Again, as the point is made in this documentary, the problem is not racism. The problem is ungodliness. Quote from the documentary, "The lie is that the entire plight of the black community is because of slavery. That racism is the reason why the blacks were not able to build generational wealth. That the problem is systemic racism, but that is the lie. The decline took place because God and truth were removed." The documentary goes on to explain that Harlem collapsed and became a slum, not because of racism, but because of the false teachers, the false prophets of the civil rights movement that came disguised as angels of light, even deceiving many black ministers. Saul Alinsky, that communist radical who dedicated his book to Satan, enlisted and trained many black ministers to be civil rights agitators. This movie certainly doesn't hold back on indicting the whole philosophy of the civil rights movement. And these are African Americans making this indictment. You know, at first we might assume that our fathers' civil rights movement was the good side of race relations. But when you dig down into it, the civil rights movement in the 1960s was the same poison as cultural Marxism today, but a lower dosage. And the civil rights movement, promoted by the communist Marxists in the 1960s, through their protests and agitating race relations, stole the credit for creating equal justice for African Americans. It was Christianity that was already in the culture that was overturning ungodly racist laws and cultural norms. And it would have these things would have been overturned anyway without all of the protests and without all of the riots. But that's a whole other discussion. Now, this documentary has largely been ignored by the media. I suppose they don't even want people to know about it. But in the few critiques that I read, the criticism from the left, you know, those holding to the racism is the cause of all our dysfunction narrative, is that this film denies the existence of racism. And therefore, the film is a lie, and these black conservatives are white supremacists. Which only goes to show that the critics didn't understand or listen to the message in the documentary. They're so blinded by their critical race theory that they can't even think outside the box. This documentary did not claim that there was no racism. The issue was over how racism is to be overcome. The way of the Christian teacher, Booker T. Washington, or the way of the atheist, W.E. Du Bois. Booker T. Washington taught the way of Christ. Humility, character, love, charity, love your enemies, work. Du Bois taught be aggrieved. Demand, fight, and protest for your rights. Respect is not earned, it's demanded. And all of your problems, all of your personal problems, are due to racism. You know, just like Karl Marx taught that the problem with the world is not a personal sin problem, but a battle between economic classes. and that the proletariat need to rise up against the bourgeois. Du Bois believed in a racial form of Marxism, that blacks need to rise up against the whites, because the great problem in the world for him was racial disparity, not just economic disparity like Karl Marx taught. So read up on the life and the philosophy of Du Bois. He was a model atheist. Here's an article praising him from the Freedom of Religion Foundation. Quote from Du Bois. By the time of graduation, I was still a believer in Orthodox religion, but had strong questions which were encouraged at Harvard, of course. In Germany, I became a free thinker, and when I came to teach at an Orthodox Methodist Negro school, I was soon regarded with suspicion, especially when I refused to lead the students in public prayer. When I became head of a department at Atlanta, the engagement was held up because, again, I balked at leading in prayer. I flatly refused again to join any church or sign any church creed. From my 30th year on, I have increasingly regarded the church as an institution which defended such evils as slavery, color caste, exploitation of labor, anti-Marxism, and war. I think the greatest gift of the Soviet Union to modern civilization was the dethronement of the clergy and the refusal to let religion be taught in public schools. Here's another interesting article about Du Bois' philosophy from Stanford University. Quote, Du Bois' life acquired its only deep significance through its participation in what he called the Negro problem, or later the race problem. And many, many people have fallen for the lie of Du Bois and his Negro problem worldview, because it sounds so true and so real if you don't have a biblical worldview, if you don't hear God's story. And without God and the Bible in the universities, this lie is what's being taught. Consider how entrenched this lie is in America and how it has infected people's mind with hate and anger, pride and envy. Here's a provocative clip put together by those who like to stir the pot of racism, but it does show how many African Americans think because of the false prophets of the civil rights movement influencing their minds.
What are white people superior at?
What exactly are white people superior at?
They're real good at violence.
Violence.
Genocide. It's like stealing people's lives just because they feel like it.
If you are white and you know this is happening and you say nothing, then you're a killer too.
What exactly are white people superior at?
Insecurity, pretending,
fear, being fearful of nothing,
being ignorant,
blame,
letting their egos control their every move,
superior at being dicks.
What exactly are white people superior at?
Oppression, gaslighting,
lack of empathy,
intellectualizing oppression.
Did I say oppression?
What exactly are white people superior at?
Taking what's not there,
taking shit,
taking our ideas,
copycatting,
gentrification,
appropriating things that do not belong to them,
taking over other people's cultures and making you believe that they invented it.
Maybe they're thinking of it as repurposing. It's like recycle and repurpose.
As my grandma would say, them white folk, they'll take it if you don't copyright it.
They are very good at destruction of land, destruction of people, destruction of humanness.
Republican, whether you're Democrat, whether you're conservative, like, white people are really good at upholding white supremacy.
How about claiming that, you know, they are actually a whole separate race, when actually white DNA comes from the black female?
So what exactly are white people superior at?
Honey, lying, stealing, and cheating.
Manipulation.
Withholding information.
Lying.
Telling lies.
If a Christian was asked the question, what is superior about a certain ethnic group? They probably immediately think of something good that could be said. I mean, the question was not what is bad about a certain group, but what was superior. So your mind would go to something that's positive. Someone might say, well, Asians have a great respect for education, and they're good at mathematics. Mexicans are hard workers. Germans are good engineers. But immediately, because of being taught lies, these African Americans responded with venom against white people because they see the problem as whiteness. They're taught to see people as groups based upon skin color, when there are all sorts of different character traits among the blacks and among the whites. The real character issue between good character and bad character is the distinction of saved and unsaved. Everything these people who were interviewed said against white people is actually a description of the unsaved. Romans chapter 3. Those unsaved who are both black and white. But these people have been taught to see the world through the narrative of skin color. They have not been taught the biblical doctrine of man and sin, because secular humanists have removed God from public education and have replaced it with ungodly secular humanism. And what we get from that is the deeds of the flesh: enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. And what we get is more racism, pure and simple, where the civil rights movement, in leaving God out, promoted racism. Here's an article. Disney removes the song Zippity-Doo-Dah because it's considered racist. Because Uncle Remus is a happy black man. And a black man cannot be happy with such systemic racism in America. He has to be aggrieved. A happy, content black man is the Christian philosophy of Uncle Tom and Booker T. Washington and the philosophy of Christ. But the false doctrine is that a black man must be bitter and angry. And that's coming from the devil, the father of all grievances. The documentary actually made reference to the vitriol coming from the black community against white people and commented that in the Christian black community, they were raised not to hate, but to love. Quote, what killed the black community and black businesses was a mindset. And then the documentary went on to explain that this new mindset, the change, was due to the civil rights movement. The rhetoric of Martin Luther that racism is still alive and more alive than we realize, and we need to rise up against it because it's that racism that's keeping us down. Here is what Booker T. Washington taught, and this is quoted in the documentary. No one ever loses anything by being a gentleman or a lady. No person ever loses anything by being charitable. Remember that if we're kind and useful, if we're moral, no matter what people say about us, they cannot pull us down. But if we're without the spirit of usefulness, if we are without morality, without economy and property, without all those qualities which go to make a people in a nation great and strong, no matter what we say about ourselves, we're losing ground. Nobody can give us these qualities merely by praising us and talking well about us. And when we possess them, nobody can take them from us by speaking ill of us. And in this, Booker T. Washington was reflecting the biblical teaching of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us everything we need to know about how to fight for racial justice. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your own masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. 1 Peter is the book to go to concerning how to fix race relations. The world, the devil, and the flesh hate that message because the flesh wants to win by hatred, not by love, not by charity and service. The title of this documentary, Uncle Tom, is a pejorative now used against blacks who don't jump on the civil rights, critical race theory, oppression narrative bandwagon. Uncle Tom was a novel written by Harriet Beecher Stowe in 1852. I read it for the first time 2 years ago, and it was the most spiritual Christian novel I ever read. You have to read that book. Uncle Tom was a slave who was the Christ figure in the story. To insult Uncle Tom is to insult Christ, to insult the way of Christ. And Uncle Tom's Cabin inspired the abolitionist movement. It was actually the truth of Christ that freed the slaves. But the unsaved, in hating the way of Christ, hate the Christian character Uncle Tom. They would rather listen to their father, the devil, and choose the way of the sinful flesh. The boys actually despised and spoke against the teaching of Booker T. Washington and the way of Uncle Tom. Here's an article from a PBS Frontline documentary from about 25 years ago. Two great leaders of the black community in the late 19th and 20th century were W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. However, they sharply disagreed on strategies for black social and economic progress. Their opposing philosophies can be found in much of today's discussion over how to end class and racial injustice. Well, back in 1998, yeah, that was, you know, the two options were being discussed, but not today. Booker T. Washington, educator, reformer, and the most influential black leader of his time, preached a philosophy of self-help, radical solidarity and accommodation. He urged blacks to accept discrimination for the time being and concentrate on elevating themselves through hard work and material prosperity. He believed in education, in the crafts, in industry, farming skills, and in cultivating the virtues of patience, enterprise, and thrift. This, he said, would win the respect of whites and lead to African Americans being fully accepted as citizens and integrated into all strains of society. W.E.B. Du Bois, a towering black intellectual, scholar, and political thinker, said no. Washington's strategy would serve only to perpetuate white oppression. Du Bois advocated political action and a civil rights agenda. He helped found the NAACP. In addition, he argued that social change would be accomplished by developing a small group of college-educated blacks he called the Talented Ten. So do you see the difference between these two men representing two different ways? 2 Peter chapter 2, the way of Christ versus the way of the Jewish zealots. And when the two ways or the two gospels are laid out clearly, then people can see the choice that's being made without all the deception. People need to be taught the way of Christ versus the way of this world. My only criticism, or rather my advice for those who put together this documentary, Uncle Tom 2, is that they could have been more deliberate in explaining these two paths. I picked up on it because I spent a lot of time thinking through the core foundations of the conflict, but most people need some further explanation, more biblical explanation. And the documentary could have done a better job in explaining the real roots of the current day racist narrative. It's not really Marxism. Marxism is just another fruit of the root that has caused all sorts of evils in this world. Critical race theory, BLM, would have arisen even if Karl Marx had never been born. Because the core evil is the natural way of the flesh. Marxism is the way of Satan in every age. Think of it charted out this way. One way is to see Marxism producing the secular civil rights movement philosophy, and I get that. But this other chart is the way I tend to view it. Marxism, CRT, abortion, LGBTQ, feminism, BLM, all independently come out of a godless, secular, humanistic, man is God belief. One final thought. Larry Elder, the one who produced Uncle Tom, ran for governor of California, and I believe he lost by 39% to 61%. What a discouragement that was. The people of California had a choice between the Christian candidate and the non-Christian socialist, and they made their choice for Barabbas. They would not have this man Christ reign over them. The San Francisco Chronicle called Larry Elder a right-wing loon. And California will reap the consequences for their choice. But in the face of this rejection, Larry Elder is now doubling down on what Christians are called to do, to teach the way of Christ. And this documentary is doing just that. It's only by getting the word of Christ out there that our nation will ever be saved. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word, be ready, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. So brethren, get your hands on Uncle Tom 2. Share it with family, friends, neighbors. I'm doing my own showing with Christian friends this Friday. Thanks for listening. Thank you for your prayers and support. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.